Ray Byantati is a student social worker currently undertaking a master's program at Massey University. Ray is of Banaban and Kiribati origin, was raised and educated in Fiji throughout his childhood. His grandparents were forced to relocate to the island of Rambi in Fiji from the island of Banaba in the Kiribati in 1945 because of the British mining of phosphate on the island of Banaba. His environmental social justice work is linked to the histories of his people and the extent of the environmental degradation caused by mining that made their sacred land uninhabitable. Prior to moving to New Zealand for further studies, Ray has been a very active young leader in civil society groups in Kiribati and the Pacific region. Ray joins us on the line. Ko ngā Māori, Ray, and thank you so much for joining us.
Ko ngā Māori, Ete, and good morning. Just to correct, I'm still doing my bachelor for social work, and I wish I was doing my master's.
Wonderful. Our apologies for that. But this story that really fascinates me is the story of Banaba. And so all of the people on Banaba Island had to relocate to a totally new island in Fiji in 1945. Could you tell us the history of that?
Yeah, so my ancestors were relocated to Rambi in Fiji, which is an island located in the northern parts of Fiji, shortly before the Second World War. And this was because of the extensive mining that took place. But the story really is just to acknowledge that, migration has been one of the factors that affects the Kiribati language, because the story of our ancestors and of our people, they were able to manage and to manage to retain the language through oral tradition. And yeah, in the context of celebrating the Kiribati Language Week in New Zealand, I think we share a similar story, which is why I want to acknowledge the histories of our people as well. Because in New Zealand, as people move into this new country, retaining the language is quite important.
So how many Banabans were on Banaba in 1945? And were all the Banabans made to leave Banaba to go live on Rambi?
Yes, there were about 1,000 people that were relocated to Fiji. There were others that were dispersed to other Micronesian island countries such as Kusai and Nauru, and yeah, the majority of the people were relocated to Fiji.
And was Rambi an island that became just Banaban, or were are there other Fijians on the island of Rambi?
Yes, there were indigenous people that owned, the island, but the island was leased as an arrangement with the British Phosphate Company. And paid by the Banaban Phosphate loyalties at the time.
And was this when the British had some control of Fiji? Was that how they were able to purchase or at least lease part of Rambi for the 1,000 Banabans who relocated there?
I believe so. At the time, British had was very influential in terms of, being the one of the powerful countries at the time. And I think, the impact of that arrangement remains today on the entrenchment of the Banaban people under two jurisdictions, which is the Fiji government and the Kiribati government. So we enjoy the dual relationship and citizenship under these two states.
Wow. I didn't realize that Banabans on Rumbi are still Kiribati citizens as well as now Fijian citizens. So as far as the island of Banaba is concerned now, it's uninhabitable? There's no one that lives there?
At the moment, there are. There's about 200 people on Banaba in Kiribati. And the island is run by the Kiribati government as well as the Banaban Island Council, which was established under the Local Government Act of Kiribati. And we have about 200 people on Banaba today.
And those 200 people, are they Banaban? They are not other island groups who have moved there and are now living there on the island of Banaba. These are Banabans who have returned to the island to be on island.
Yeah, so these are Banabans, and as well as of Kiribati heritage. So it's kind of a mix. The population of Banaba consists of the Banabans themselves who chose to stay back during the relocation, as well as those that have returned back from Rumbi to reconnect with the homeland. So, and we also have Kiribati families and workers employed by the Kiribati government running the school and the island council and the medical clinic. And so it's kind of a mixture of both all people who chose to stay and those that chose to return back and those that are working to run the island.
Where do you, in your mind, when I think of home, I visualize Samoa in my mind. As a Banaban, now third generation Rumbi Banaban, do you imagine Rumbi as your homeland, or do you still imagine Banaba to be your Turanga Waiwai?
Well, I'm a proud, I embrace my identity as a proud Kiribati and as a proud Banaban. And I consider Rumbi as my Turanga Waiwai, because that's where my childhood memories, that was where I grew up. And that's where, and that's the village that, helped nurtured me. So I am very proud to embrace both identities as a proud Kiribati and as a proud Banaban.
So just trying to get my mind around it. So on the island of Rumbi, there are still local Fijians, but there is a village on Rumbi several villages that are now just Banaba.
So on Rumbi, we've leased the whole island. So the indigenous Fijian people who were the owners of Rumbi have been relocated to, I believe, a village across Rumbi, which is an island called Tabeuni. I'm not really sure if that's correct, but that's what I've been told by my elders through stories, that there were people who owned Rumbi before the government of Fiji leased it out to our people. And the lease is for 999 years, and I believe we've come to about, it's been 70 years or so, so we've got a long way to go.
Yes. Yes. I think you're not going to have to worry about the lease, Ray. I think that's a peace of mind. And the other lucky thing for you is that the only way you can fly into Kiribati is from Fiji. I thought I heard in one of the pieces that we had on air earlier.
Yep, that's right.
So you fly from Nandi to Tarawa, and there you're able to get to Banaba. Now let's talk about your own history. How did you come to be in Albany, Auckland? What's a Banaban boy from Rumbi doing in Auckland?
Yeah, so when I completed high school in Fiji, my family migrated back to Kiribati to reconnect with their families, and that's when I completed my upper high school level And I went back to Fiji to do a study, a diploma in accountancy, and returned back to Kiribati to work for, the NGO sector for many years, working with the grassroots communities from across the Kiribati Islands. It exposed me to the experience of working with the communities, and that's when I developed a passion and love for climate work, because most of the work has been about climate justice. And because of the histories that we had with our people, it kind of really was a driving factor of why I'm so passionate about the work, because I believe that our stories is similar with our Kiribati families, where no one is to be moved because of environment degradation, and as a product of the generation that has to be of a generation that has experienced the impact of being relocated from your homeland because of environment degradation, I believe that we have a lot to do in terms of advocacy because of relocation that may result from environment degradation because of phosphate mining or because of climate change. So that has been the driving force behind why I'm doing this study at Metz University. So this degree has really been powered by those experiences and as well as my love for community development at the very grassroots level.
Now, when you say your family returned to the Kiribati, are you talking about your parents, or are you just talking about yourself personally? And returning to the Kiribati, what does that mean? Are they in Tarawa, or have they gone back to Banaba?
So I was talking about my parents. So my parents were the ones that migrated back to Kiribati, because my dad is from the southern islands of the Kiribati group, and my mom came from the central part of Kiribati. So, and both also have connections to Banaba. And really, the migration was to reunite with my mom's younger brother. And that's how we, the whole family, not just my mom and dad, but her siblings also took the journey back to Kiribati in 2004 to reconnect with the adopted brother that was in Kiribati, and also with the extended families that were in Kiribati. And that's how we kind of got back to Kiribati in 2004.
So are they with Mum's island family rather than Dad's, are they, back in Kiribati?
Yes, yeah, so both of my parents have got extended families in Kiribati. I believe it was really reconnecting through both sides, maternal and now paternal side, from my parents. And yes, that was in regards to, the family and reconnecting with the family. It was really for both of my parents.
How has that been for your Kiribati language, or were you always strong in the language? You were brought up speaking it, so but it's just a matter of readjusting to the environment, I guess. Rambi would be quite different to the islands of the Kiribati.
Oh, believe it or not, but when I first came to Kiribati in 2004, my Kiribati language was quite different, in terms of the accent and in terms of the words that we use. And so I really picked up improving my language when I came to Kiribati and went to school. I also, when I came back to work after completing study in Fiji, I picked up on writing. And so the office where I worked, I used to contribute to newsletter of the organization, and that gave me a practical hands-on experience. But prior to that, I also I was doing a placement with the legal aid office, and so I had the opportunity also to practice translating Kiribati to English and vice versa, and just, you know, communicating with the clients and the lawyers, and that really contributed to, you know, how far I've improved with my written and spoken Kiribati.
So in a sense, the people of Rambi, even within the three generations that have been there, have developed their own language, haven't they? Not different, but dissimilar to the language that has continued to develop in the Kiribati. Or is it because there are variations anyway within the Kiribati group of islands in terms of the language?
Yeah, the Banabin people use the Kiribati language. And the only difference is, you know, there's been like a revolution in how they've used the word. And there's been variations, as you said. And a mixture of using Fijian words as well while we converse. And that has, you know, the environment, the new environment that we are in, had really had impacted massively on how we spoke the Kiribati language. But just to be clear, that the Banabin people of Rambi, they use Kiribati language as their communication language.
Yes, did the word set creep into the Banabin language in Rambi?
Oh, so an example would be, for example, a shoe. In the Kiribati language, we use tekau as to refer to a shoe, but in Rambi we use tepus, you know, which is quite different, but the same thing.
Yes.
Some of the old, very old Kiribati language we still use, whereas in Kiribati they would find it odd, because that's the language that their ancestors used long time ago, but we still use them. So it's kind of interesting, because when we speak the Kiribati language and use the new words and the very old one, you know, people in our families in Kiribati would automatically know that, you know, oh, he's from Rambi.
right. Yes, it is distinct now. Now, what is the dream? Is it to complete your studies here and then go back to continue to serve the people of the Kiribati in the Kiribati?
Yes, that is actually the dream. The scholarship that I'm on requires that I go back to serve my bond. But while here, because I've been here for like 5 years, I've been involved with the Kiribati Aotearoa Diaspora Directorate, which is a youth-led charitable trust in Auckland. And to celebrate Kiribati Language Week, so these are the sideline job that I do while I'm at school, is the development of the Maori project, which is a cartoon to preserve the Kiribati language. And it consists of three learnings, which is vowels, numbers, and colors. And it's the first ever, if it's not the first ever Kiribati cartoon, it's at least the first one that was given the space and the platform for young people to co-create this project. And we've launched this at Massey University last Saturday. We also did a bilingual storybook, which is called Te Roi Stays at Home. And this was created by Moivasa Taboru through the support of the Mahu Vision Community Trust and the Ministry of Pacific People. And the last one was the COVID-19 diary, which allowed primary school kids in Rodney to come together for as part of their after-school program to write their story about how they felt during COVID-19 lockdown. and they were able to share, you know, their stories through illustration and writing them in English and translating them in Kiribati. So that's just how passionate we are with preserving the language, and that's how I'm contributing to this local NGO here in New Zealand. And we hope that, you know, we do more good in preserving the language than harm in these three projects. And all of these projects have been launched last Saturday. And I don't know, for me, we were content with how we managed to implement the project, and seeing that the younger ones would be the ones to benefit a lot from these initiatives.
For you, apart from climate change and language loss, what is perhaps one of the biggest challenges for the Kiribati community diaspora?
Yeah, I think language, growing up as a young boy in Fiji, I think the language made us stand out as you know, a distinct group, you know. So I think the language forms part of our identity. And that's very important. No one has moved from Kiribati because of climate change. But if that's going to happen in the future, I think one of the important elements of who we are as e-Kiribati is our language. And that should be retained. And whatever we can do to preserve this language, we shoulder that responsibility to be the custodian of the language, because the language is our identity. And that's just who we are. I mean, like, to have your own language is really to show that, yes, I'm an e-Kiribati living in New Zealand. Yes, I'm an e-Kiribati living in Fiji. Yes, I'm an e-Kiribati living in the diaspora communities. And I think it's very important that we try and preserve the language so that it's there for the next generation and the next.
Speaking of the language, finally, can you say a few words to our young ones out there? Words of encouragement in the Kiribati language as an end to our interview, please, Ray Bayentaiti.
Epi, I'd like to thank you for providing this platform to share our stories. And just as a word of advice to our young ones, please utilize your God-given talent and give back to the preservation of our language. Happy Kiribati Language Week to you and your whānau and your families, and hope you have a beautiful week to celebrate and embrace the Kiribati language as a key element of our identity. Thank you, Ete.
Young Kiribati leader Ray Bayentaiti, thank you for your time and your heart for our people.
Well,